Welcome to MeFlow Magic, a podcast for the investor generation. I'm Phil Knipe. Each week, I sit down with MeFlow founder Josh Schuler to discuss all things retail investing, what it means, how to get there, and how simple practices can lead to proven results. With new retail investors entering the market daily, this show exists to bring institutional ideas to you, the investor generation. To learn more about how MeFlow ideas can shape your approach to investing, check us out at MeFlow.com. And with that, let's get into the show. So Josh, let's talk macroeconomics. More specifically, let's talk interest rates, because it's the topic of the day, and it's what everybody wants to talk about, so we might as well give it to them.
It's everyone's favorite topic.
Everybody's favorite topic. I bought a house this year. Isn't that great? It's a new build, which means I had to wait to pay for it until it was completed, which sounds all fine and dandy. Except that when we started this process, I was quoted 2.875%.
Yeah.
Pretty good interest rate. By the time it was actually completed and we bought the house, I ended up getting 4.25% interest rate. Still kind of historically low, but that's an additional $400 a month in an increased payment. So not very happy about that. So, I mean, what's going on with that? Like, what... You're the expert on this. Talk to me about what's going on with interest rates. Why do they happen? What did the feds have to do with that? And anything else you want to add?
Well, let's talk about where that's impactful for people that would be using MeFlow ideas, and that is the impact on equity prices. And with more and more Americans having more and more of their long term wealth tied to stock prices, if those stock prices go lower, then that's a problem, right? And historically, over the last 15 years, we've been in what's called a monetary market, where the Federal Reserve has been very accommodative to supporting equity prices. And about the end of last year, we started transitioning into something called a fiscal market, where the Fed is removing that support, doing it in a couple ways. I mean, the one way that everybody talks about is the interest rates. That's not the only thing they're doing. They're also reducing their balance sheet, which we could talk about as well. All of that serves to make it less attractive to be in equities as an investment, and is a little bit the reason, if you go, well, why have equity prices gone so much lower? Why has the S&P been down 20-25%, or the NASDAQ down 30% at one time this year? It's largely due to the increase in interest rates. And so, like, over the last 15 years, investors have been, there's a term that we use called TINA, meaning that there is no alternative. And the investing world has been very heavily equity focused and away from treasuries and bonds and interest rate products or fixed income, because they just haven't returned a yield. Now that those yields are increasing, there's rotation out of that. It also impacts the financing for companies like Tesla and Amazon and Facebook, Meta, these companies that are these large, massive companies that are, still having to finance a lot of their operations. Those loans are all more expensive now. And so that's going to cut into their forward earnings, which means what? Stock valuations go lower. So that's where it impacts anyone who's looking to be an investor. Now, the question of like why are interest rates going higher right now is because we are trying to combat this scary word called inflation, which is like the boogeyman. And the Federal Reserve has been given kind of two mandates. One of those is to look at unemployment, and the other one is to curb inflation. And so they take actions based on what they're looking at on those two metrics.
There's a gentleman by the name of John Maynard Keynes. I remember when I was in college, I took an intro to economics class, and we learned a lot about this fellow. And by the end of it, we were all Keynesians, at least according to my professor. And let's see. John Maynard Keynes, probably not everybody's favorite, because he came up with this idea that the Federal Reserve has the ability to influence the interest rates that we pay. Talk to me about that. How does this whole thing work? What can the Fed do to affect our interest rate?
Yeah. So one of the functions that the Federal Reserve does, which I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but one of the greatest conspiracies ever, it was the introduction of a central bank, because you have this independent entity that can interact with our government and the financing of our government, and yet isn't in our government, but it is beholden to our government, but yet still somehow independent. And they use interest rates as a way they set basically the bench rate that banks lend to each other overnight. And there's something called a repo market, So not like repo, like somebody comes and takes your car because you haven't paid for it. But it's an overnight lending where, you know, a bank needs cash. And so they'll go and get a short-term loan from another bank and pay an interest rate on that. And the Fed sets what that rate is and controls that market. They also set the rate that the U.S. government can, via the Treasury, establish new debt. So part of the reason that so many people have been going into stocks over the last number of years is that the Federal Reserve has been essentially buying and transferring U.S. debt from the Treasury onto its balance sheet. And so that meant that the U.S. government doesn't have to pay much of a yield on that debt. And so who wants to buy that as an investment? Even though it's super, super stable, it's not even keeping pace with the value of money. And so that's kind of what drove people into stocks. But the interest rate has been the key lever that the Fed has used over the years to address the impact of inflation. Because the general idea is that if they raise interest rates, so the cost of money gets more expensive, that will diminish demand. So, you know, the reason that we get inflation is because I've got too much demand and not enough supply, right? Like that's the general macroeconomic, even a microeconomic perspective. Macroeconomic, which introduces monetary policy, is the attempt of the government to curb that. And prices go up and down. The Fed has had a rate of about 2% that's been a target inflation rate that they've had for quite some time. And this goes all the way back to a guy named Volcker, who was a Fed chairman in the 70s, 80s. You have to check specifically, but a while back. And for the last number of years, the Fed has been unable to achieve that 2% inflation rate. So in August of 2020, the Fed changed their policy with not a lot of fanfare. I mean, a number of us in the investing industry saw it and went, oh my gosh, this is going to have really bad implications. But essentially, up until August of 2020, the Fed was always looking at inflation and targeting an inflation rate and trying to push the economy to an inflation rate. In August of 2020, they decided, no, we're just going to react once it gets here. Which means, you know, like most bureaucracies, then you're now chasing your tail when it does arrive. Because it takes some amount of time to figure out, are we actually, you know, having inflation? And the initial things that we saw of a spike inflation, which were due to COVID, the Fed kind of shrugged off. They said, hey, this is, and this was kind of the buzzword last year, was that inflation was transient, which meant that it would just move through its system and it wasn't sticky. So sticky inflation is a much bigger problem than transient inflation. And because of COVID, I think it was kind of hard to see, but one of the data points that became very sticky, and you experienced it just now, is housing. Housing is a really sticky thing. That once those prices start going up, it gets really, really hard to pull them down. And that can impact, you know, everything within that chain. And now we're in a position where it isn't just transient. The Fed is chasing that inflation, and they have to. So when people are going, well, you know, what's the bad news about inflation? The bad news is that, well, obviously, cost of goods are more expensive. And for the least wealthy in our economy, the staple goods that they buy, where they don't have margin to absorb that, are impacted the most. That's one really negative impact of inflation. So people are like having to start making decisions on their needs, where, you know, those of us who are at a, you know, different position are making decisions based on our wants. Like we're still meeting our needs and we just absorb those costs.
Yeah, very well said.
The macro problem is that now that when that interest rate goes up, that also increases the rate that the U.S. government has to fund future debt. So for, you know, for those who are following like a national debt and are concerned that one day that, you know, the national debt's going to implode us, that really doesn't impact us in a low inflation environment. In a high inflation environment, just like you've experienced in the increase of your mortgage rate, even though it was historically low, that little bitty bump made a big difference.
Yeah, $400 a month.
So right now, you know, the U.S. government spends about 11% per year servicing our debt. So we have about a $31 trillion or so. It's roughly a little bit bigger than our annual GDP as a country. And we pay, you know, about 10% of our budget every year just servicing that debt. On a going forward basis, though, I mean, that could spike. That could spike quite a bit to the point that now you're in a situation where we can't, like things like a debt ceiling become an issue. And, you know, can we actually pay? That becomes an issue. And imagine the consequences if the United States government couldn't pay for its debts. That's the scary problem. And so that's why the Federal Reserve is being aggressive in raising rates, and will continue to do that at least through, we're looking at a target rate of about 475 basis points by May is kind of the expectation, 475 to 500. And that's all meant to calm everything down, make sure the United States government stays creditworthy, and nip this thing in the bud.
Well, let's actually stop there. Let's zoom in on where these decisions actually happen. These conspiracies, as you mentioned, they take place at these committee meetings, what are known as the Federal Open Market Committee, or the FOMC. Talk about that.
Yeah. So about eight times a year, the Fed governors get together, and there are, a number of reserve banks throughout the United States under schedule of the chairman, who currently is Jerome Powell. And they make a decision over a two-day meeting on what the interest rate should be, on kind of like what that base rate is that everything else is built off of. So everybody prices their rates for credit cards or mortgages or even, national off of what that interest rate is that the Fed sets. So, for those of us who are geeks, we kind of look at FOMC as this kind of Hunger Games kind of day. Like I will routinely say, may the rates be ever in your favor.
That's my favorite Twitter quip that you do, by the way. Every time there's an FOMC meeting, Josh is always like, hashtag may the rates be ever in your favor.
Yeah. And it's fun. It's fun to watch like an intraday chart in like the equity indexes or bonds whenever that thing fires off, because you have really, really steady price action. And then all of a sudden, prices go crazy.
So when is the next FOMC meeting?
We have one next week. That's December 13th and 14th. So the rate decision will be on the 14th of December.
This week?
2022.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
What can we expect?
We can expect interest rates to go higher, somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 75 basis points is the expectation.
So one basis point is
a hundredth of a percent. So you're looking at half a percent to maybe 0.75%.
Brutal. And do you expect these to just continue to climb through the new year?
Yes.
Is there a ceiling?
Yeah, we're currently expected to raise rates at every meeting through, there's actually a pretty cool tool that the Chicago Mercantile Exchange has called the CME FedWatch tool. And
I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, we're expected to raise rates through every meeting through May. And then the question is, like, once we get to June, do we hold the rate or do we start to reduce? Right now, we're currently expected to potentially ease for the first time in December. So that would mean that they would actually lower rates. Right now, we're expecting a 100% chance of some form of hike at every meeting from now until July. They just won't be as high as they are currently.
Yeah, yeah, and it's showing that it is working. Inflation has curbed a little bit in the last few weeks. Now the rate of inflation has slowed down, but we are still inflated.
Yeah. Yeah, and next week will be really intriguing, because not only do we get that FOMC meeting, but we also get core inflation. So that's released every month, and that's been the thing that everybody's been looking at. Typically, no one really cares about the CPI readings, because for a decade, inflation was just zero, so like it didn't matter. But right now, like that thing moves the market as much as the Fed moves. So like next week's going to be nuts when that as that meeting comes out and we get that information, it's going to really, really move markets. It'll be kind of the last big move of 2022.
That's good stuff. Hey, forget Keynesian economics. We are all Shulers now. Josh, I have one more question for you.
Sure.
What kind of car does the chairman of the Federal Reserve drive?
Oh man, I have no idea. I know what kind of watch he has. Do you know what kind of car he drives?
Yes, I do. It's a Fiat.
Oh, he does read Fiat. That makes sense. That's classic.
That's a joke. I don't know if you, because Fiat money systems.
Oh,
gotcha.
Dude,
I know.
That's
so
fantastic.
Bad. What kind of watch
that's
does he
so
have?
Bad. That's so bad. That's so wonderful and so bad. I have a Scottish friend that I'm going to totally tell that joke and see how long it takes before he gets it.
Good stuff.
He's a Rolex Submariner guy, like classic, pretty principled.
Just like you.
Thanks again for listening to MeFlow Magic. I'm your host, Phil Knipe. And thanks as always to Josh Shuler, El Jefe, as he's affectionately known at the MeFlow Studios in Fort Collins, Colorado. If you like what you hear, do us a huge favor and give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And please consider writing a review as well.
It really helps us reach more listeners and ultimately keeps us going. The content, views, and opinions expressed in MeFlow Magic are for educational purposes only. As with all investments, there is a risk of loss, including principal, and no host or guest of MeFlow Magic shall be held liable. You should consult a financial advisor before making any investments relating to stocks, bonds, mutual funds, or whereby other investments relating to money. In other words, do your own research. This show is produced by me, Phil Kneipp.